Diary, January 1893. Melbourne and Parramatta, Australia, January 1st to 31st, 1893. George's Terrace, St. Kilda Road, Melbourne. Elder Starr spoke to the people in the forenoon. I spoke to them in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, from John 15, verse 1 to 11. The Lord gave me freedom. There were quite a number of outsiders present to hear, and quite a number outside the tent. There are some things objectionable. The drain sends forth a polluting, disagreeable odor, and it is quite close beside several backyard conveniences. This is a serious matter for me, for in speaking, I inhale a large amount of air, and if it is loaded with impurities, it is dangerous to me. George's Terrace, Melbourne. New Year's is celebrated today. Elder Starr and I rode out to meet May Walling at the Cars, and such loads of people in every kind of conveyance would astonish anyone. Drays, wagons for transporting merchandise, long carts, short traps, and all stored full of human freight. I have not felt well today. Attended meeting in the room below in the evening. I tried to encourage all to seek the Lord and to come to Jesus with all their troubles. All have come in from their picnic much refreshed by their camping out. May Walling came on a later train. George's Terrace, Melbourne. It is a beautiful morning. Will be warm through the day. I rose early and commenced my work. Willie came today from Sydney, Brother Daniels from Adelaide. Both left Melbourne the same day, 1 week ago last Thursday. We are glad to meet them again. We hear excellent news from Ballarat, from Brother Starr. The church are in unity. All variances are healed. Willie reports well of Sydney and Parramatta churches. Brother Daniels brings excellent reports of meetings in Adelaide. The Lord worked by His Holy Spirit upon human hearts. Brother Holland was put in as superintendent of the Sabbath school at Adelaide and was ordained as deacon of the church. This is as it should be. The church have done well in their finances, paid debts which had been incurred, and start out with new record. Attended meeting in evening conducted by W.C. White. I prayed with them. George's Terrace, Melbourne. I attended meeting in Federal Hall in Echo Office. Sister McCursey has been holding meetings, giving Bible readings for the sisters. All were urgent that I should speak to them. I consented to do this. About 85 were present. After singing, I opened the meeting with prayer, then spoke to them about 1 hour with much freedom. The burden of my message was the duty of mothers properly to train their children and mold their characters, that they shall give their young hearts to God. They need instruction daily in regard to the precious Savior and His love for them. The children should learn to practice self-denial and to love the Lord, to fear Him and obey Him, and regard the Lord Jesus as their best friend. I closed the meeting with prayer. Several spoke to me after the meeting closed, and said they were greatly blessed in listening to the message given to mothers. "It is just what we needed," said one and another. I think I took some cold in riding home that night. In the night season, I had a special manifestation of the power and grace of God. My heart was made happy and joyful in God. I praised the Lord with my whole heart. Angels were in the room, for I felt their presence. Such blessings are of highest value to me. The Lord is good and greatly to be praised. George's Terrace, Melbourne. I am not well this morning. I have labored too hard and taken cold, and I feel nearly sick. Brother Rousseau and Brother Baker came today. Sister Rousseau brought me a dish of strawberries. They had a very excellent flavor. A Baptist minister, who has just commenced to keep the Sabbath, came with them. His name is Robinson. The Lord is at work upon the hearts of the people in that locality. Fanny is improving in health. She is to remain 4 weeks, and longer if necessary, to see if she will not overcome these severe headaches. She writes she is much better. The blessing I received last night is a great strength and comfort to me. Heaven seemed to be very near. George's Terrace, Melbourne. I am feeling better in physical health this morning, but I am quite weak, as though I had been sick and just recovering. I received the mail yesterday. Letters bring excellent news from Battle Creek. The Lord is working among the students with great power. Two infidels have been wrought upon and have given their hearts to the Lord, and many souls have sought and found the Lord and are now rejoicing in the truth. I could receive no better news than this, and I praise the Lord for thus revealing His power. I learn the work of reformation is going on in the review office. The stately steppings of the Lord are there. George's Terrace, Melbourne. I thank the Lord for His mercy and goodness. I am not well today, but I shall fill my appointment if I am able to ride 5 miles to the meeting. I do not depend upon myself. I must hang my helpless soul upon Jesus Christ. I feel my weakness. I know that in and of myself I can do nothing, but through Christ strengthening me, I can do all things. Oh, how my soul longs for God! In the evening I was greatly blessed in speaking in Temperance Hall. The hall was crowded to its uttermost capacity. The Lord sent His angel to strengthen me, for I was raised above my weakness and was made strong as I have been many times in bearing my testimony to the people. I seemed to be imbued with the Holy Spirit and talked more than 1 hour with ease and clearness of voice. I had feared my contracting a cold would make it difficult for me to speak, but the Lord blessed me abundantly, and I feel full of thankfulness and joy for His rich mercy and great love. We then enjoyed a social meeting. Many excellent testimonies were born, and it did my heart good to hear them. The minister from Hobart spoke and stated that this was the third Sabbath he had kept. George's Terrace, Melbourne. I have been suffering with spasms of pain in bowels since 2:30 a.m. I tried to find relief in taking some simple remedies. The pain is less. I could not sleep. Have been writing since 4 a.m. It is cloudy today, looks like rain. I dare not venture to the morning meeting. The horse and carriage go twice, 5 miles, to take those who attend meeting. There is no train running so early. I am sorry to miss morning meeting. I could not attend afternoon meeting. I rode out in the park and felt some better. About 6 o'clock, brother and sister Star and Willie came home, all worried about me, but I was not as bad as they supposed. I was weak and unable to go in afternoon. They report excellent morning meetings and excellent meeting in afternoon in behalf of the school. The social meeting moved off with vital interest. I am glad Brother Falkhead is really obtaining a valuable experience. He is finding it is not as easy to break from the Freemasons as he had thought. The enemy will not readily give up his subjects, which he is binding as captives to his car. I fear and tremble for him, but the Lord has him in hand and is dealing with him, and I hope and pray that he may be thoroughly converted. George's Terrace, Melbourne. It is pleasant and warm today, and I thank the Lord for sweet rest in sleep. My mind has been drawn out to God in prayer that He would remove infirmities from me. I have a swelling, seems to be a bone swelling, upon my foot, on the instep. It pains me and seems to affect the nerves on my left side, but I can go to my Heavenly Father with all my infirmities. I am believing and trusting in God. I dare not let go, but cling to the arm of infinite power. The Lord will sustain me. I cry out in my great need for a deep and rich experience in the things of God. The Lord is my strength. I have been in communion with God through my waking hours, and while sleeping, the precious promises were presented to me, so clear, strong, and satisfying. The words faith, hope, and love were repeated to me again and again as the great need of the people of God. If we possess these heavenly gifts, they bring all other blessings in their train. I tell my Heavenly Father just what I need. He knows how to help me, and I put my trust in Him as a child trusts in its earthly parent. I ask, and I shall receive according to the promise. I believe His word. I rely on His promise. I am filled with comfort, and I am strengthened with His strength. Oh, how my soul longs after a constant living connection with God! Over and over the words were spoken to me. Faith, hope, and love, brought into the practical life, will develop Christ-like character. This the Church needs and must have in the work of overcoming. Souls will be tempted, fiercely tempted. Peter was tempted, and Christ said to Peter, "Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Luke 22, verse 31-32. Brother and Sister Star, May Walling, and I rode into meeting, 5 miles. Meeting opened at 9 o'clock, and there was a good attendance. Brother Star led out, presenting appropriate texts of Scripture applicable to the season with which we were favored in seeking the Lord. We had a season of prayer. I felt led out in prayer. Then, after the praying season, I spoke to the people upon the importance of cherishing faith, hope, and love. These graces planted in the garden of the soul, and cultivated, will make the one enriched therewith a bright, shining light to the world. Cultivating these heaven-born attributes, they will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
I read Revelation 7, verse 9-17. I felt the Spirit of the Lord resting upon me. I called several by name and entreated them to face the light, to talk faith, and they would have faith. If they talked darkness, they would have darkness in abundance. By beholding, we become changed into the same image. Brother Foster came to visit me. He was depressed, distressed in mind, and it made him sick in body. Poor man. He has a large family of 7 children, and they are none of them in excellent health. Brother Foster is a tailor. He earned good wages, but in embracing the Sabbath, he lost his position and received much lower wages. He can, if blessed of the Lord, do good in the work, but he needs a fitting up. He has not saved anything from his large wages, and now he earns so much less that they are in cramped circumstances. The enemy is trying to make him discouraged and to weaken his faith. An article in the Review upon the Image of the Beast by Jones, followed by articles in opposition by Elder Smith, have hurt him. He says the watchmen upon the walls sound the trumpet. But what is the certain sound? Confusion is in his mind. I tried to help him. When the Lord told Peter what would be his position, Peter turned to John and said, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Christ answered, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." John 21, verse 21-22. George's Terrace, Melbourne. I am weak this morning. My stomach does not act. Can eat nothing. But I do feel that the Lord will sustain me in attending the morning 9 o'clock meeting, which is a meeting of great importance to the church. The blessing and presence of God in the meeting helps them all through the day, through all their business meetings, to strive for unity and work in harmony. The Lord gave me a special word for His people, Hebrews 11, the chapter upon faith. The blessing of the Lord came in as I tried to present before them the necessity of taking their minds from the common, cheap, and discouraging things that are seen, and dwelling upon the things that are unseen. We are seeking a better country, even an heavenly city, whose builder and maker is God. George's Terrace, Melbourne. Did not attend the morning meeting. Went in afternoon and spoke. January 13, 1893. George's Terrace, Melbourne. Friday. Attended afternoon meeting. Spoke in reference to the establishment of our institutions, especially publishing house, and the poverty that bound us about. George's Terrace, Melbourne. Spoke to a full congregation from Isaiah 58. The Lord gave much clearness and His power to speak in the demonstration of the Spirit. All seemed intensely interested. I treated the entire chapter and made a few earnest remarks upon the Sabbath being God's memorial. The Lord helped my infirmities. I did not think of them. I was strong in His grace. George's Terrace, Melbourne. Our last meeting is closed today. We had a very important meeting. The tithing questions were answered by Elder Starr very aptly and satisfactorily. The words the Lord gave me to speak to the people were upon faithfulness and love to God and our fellow men. George's Terrace, Melbourne. Now comes earnest work to prepare letters for the American mail. George's Terrace, Melbourne. I have not allowed myself to write one extra line, for I was pressed with important matters for the General Conference in America. The mail is closed. That burden has passed. The result of writing 200 pages, besides sending multiplied copies to different ones, is yet to be seen. 5 weeks it takes to reach Battle Creek, Michigan, then time to be brought before the conference. January 26, 27, 1893. Parramatta, Australia. Left Melbourne Thursday, January 26. Stepped on board the train about 4:30. Elder Starr and his wife, Emily Campbell, and I had the first-class compartment to ourselves. We rode until 10:30 p.m., then changed, and Emily and I went into a sleeping car after the American style. I was too thoroughly exhausted to sit up before the change to the sleeper and lay down and felt relieved. I slept, after the change from 11:00, until 5 a.m., January 27th. I was too much exhausted to sit up, and my berth was left for me undisturbed until just before we entered Sydney. Here we met Brother Riki, who helped us with our baggage on board the train to take us to Parramatta. In going to Parramatta, we went back over much of the distance we had passed. It was time for our dinner. We ate a few grapes, and soon we were at Parramatta, and at the depot, Brethren Hare and Steed were waiting for us. Emily and I were placed in a hack and taken to Brother Hare's. Brother and Sister Starr were entertained at Brother Steed's. In the afternoon, a horse and carriage were procured, and we four, Brother and Sister Starr, Emily and I, rode about the place. It is a very pretty colony. We visited this place when we passed through Sydney on our way to Melbourne. I thought, as we were enjoying our picnic in the park, why not seek to raise the standard of truth in this place, Parramatta? Brother Hughes took us with his horse and carriage to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The house of worship was well filled. I spoke from the 14th chapter of John. The Lord strengthened me, and I know He sent His angels to sustain me. Parramatta. I devoted the time to writing out testimonies for Brother and Sister Hare. In the evening, spoke in the town hall to a well-filled hall. The Lord strengthened me. I bore a very decided testimony, and all listened with deep interest. Oh, how I long for strength, physical strength. I feel exhausted much of the time, but my prayers are ascending to God that for Christ's sake I may be restored to health. My subject was Luke 10, verse 25, the question asked by the lawyer of Christ, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Parramatta. Brother and Sister Starr, Emily and I rode out to see a place that it was thought might do for a school, but it was not suitable. It was a good location, but the buildings were not suitable. Parramatta. Tuesday evening, January 31st, I spoke in the Seventh-day Adventist Chapel. I felt deeply burdened for those newly come to the faith. They were in great need of a deeper experience.